I wanted to round off this series by spending a bit of time together, just one-on-one. It might be great, it might be awful, I might potentially get myself cancelled, but we're just going to talk through some stuff. I'm going to do some wrongs, some rights, give you my hot takes, and just genuinely hang out. And then if you like it, we can make more in the future. I'm going to start with my wrongs, because I am a bit of a glass half empty kind of gal. I do like a good moan in various locations, but just moaning and being negative does come quite naturally to me. So I'm not going to pretend like I'm a really positive hun, because I'm not. So let's get into it. First up, this is going to really divide people. My husband said, don't say it, because he said it sounds so freaking weird, but I don't like the longer days that come with summer. There, I said it. I sound like a vampire. I sound like, what's the little girl from the Addams Family? I tell you what it is. Everything about summer is, yes, warmer weather, drinking, holidays, everything. I am now this person that likes to go to the bed quite early. So when it's light or like 10 o'clock at night, that's just, in my opinion, excessive amount of daylight. I feel like they could wrap it up at like 8 p.m. would be perfect. Last night in my hotel, I'm thinking I've got to get up at 5:30. It's still so light. So I had to shut all the curtains in to kind of trick myself that it was nighttime. It's, honestly, it's a real Greek tragedy. It's terrible. And then in the morning, it's also weird. Again, weird. I quite like getting up on a dark morning and going to the gym, because when you go to the gym in the dark, you feel like you're better than everyone else. But when you go to the gym and it's light and, you know, the sun's up, it doesn't feel like so much of an achievement. My mom's on the podcast. You know her. Praise was something that was earned, not given. And I have incredibly low self-esteem. So I really need the validation of being one of the only people in the gym at 5:30. And I just don't get it when the sun is shining. Go back to bed. Let me have the gym to myself, please. This, I've got straight men in this room. This is not a man-hating podcast. I'm not a man-hater, okay? So don't think this is like I hate men. I don't. I married one, for God's sake. I actually committed to him. I let him put his body parts inside me, but they are, you guys are annoying. I'm just going to put it the fuck out there. You have to make excessive noise of everything you do. Why can I lift a dumbbell to maximum capacity in the gym and put it down and don't make any noise? But why does the dude next to me have to like bring all the air into his, like, like, why? I don't have to do that. Why do you have to do that? You need to try reverse. Also, why can I go into a sauna or a steam room, sit down, it's warm, it's going to relax. Why do men have to come in and go, Darth Vader, shut the fuck up. I was trying to meditate. I've got ADHD. This is difficult for me. Stop breathing so loud. You wonder why we're always pissed off of you. Your first mistake is breathing. If you have to do it, do it fucking quietly. I think my third wrong would just, oh, do you know what? Just a bit of umbrage of being a woman. Okay, say this carefully, because I love being a woman. I wouldn't change it. But obviously there is that time in the month where you realise we did get a bit of a raw deal. And that time came for me when I was in a hotel this week in London. And I had none of the necessary paraphernalia to deal with the upcoming hemorrhage I was about to experience. So did what all modern women do. And I went to the phone to deliver it. It was late at night. So, you know, I didn't want to have to venture out into the street, you know, again, because woman, you know, venturing in the streets alone at late, not recommended. You have these various, you know, options for delivery. And I just needed Tampax. I needed pads. I needed underwear. I know it sounds mental, but I am a thong girl, but I wanted like a proper pair of pants. Anyway, before you know it, and I shopped around a little bit, £60 just to get what I needed for the downstairs situation. £60. And I kept going back off it. I was like, no, I'm just going to sleep on a towel like a dog in heat. But then I was like, no, come on. You'd spend £60 on a round of shots in a bar in London. You wouldn't even think about it. Like, get what you need. But I just thought, that's just a lot of money, isn't it? Dudes just don't have to think about that. But there we were, £60, some absolutely revolting granny knickers and basically a diaper later, and I was ready to go. But I just thought that was a bit unfair. That was a bit of a wrong for me this week. Just all the paraphernalia and the expense. I could do a whole podcast on how much I hate British public transport, but I'm just going to give you the highlight reel. And it starts at what I would describe the downfall of humanity, aka Euston Station. That is the pits of hell. Like, if you describe to me, where do you think you're going to go when you die? There. I'll be forever standing in the middle of Euston Station with every single fucking train is delayed or cancelled, with pigeon shitting on my head, some prick with a boombox, and the burning smell of BO in my nostrils from whoever has just pushed past me. Like, it's just horrendous. I just have umbrage with the whole transport situation in the UK. Everyone does. But I obviously ride the rails hard because I'm doing the Manchester London commute all the time. And two things, you could literally fly to fucking New York for the price of what it costs to get from London to Manchester on a train. And second, they're never on time. They're always delayed, cancelled, no driver, no person to open the door, whatever, no seats. You choose a seat, you pay for a seat, then they decode the seats. I mean, God forbid first world problems, but if you're sat in like the premium first class bit and they, you know, they try to lure you in there, but like with food, but then they never have the foods. It's all like a big lie. They just go, I'll pay extra, we'll give you some food. Then you get there like choking. We don't have any food, but well done for paying extra, you idiot. And then, yeah, you get to sit 2.5 hours and they love to play this game. So it's either the carriage is excruciatingly hot where you sweat from every orifice of your body, or it's so cold you literally feel like you're going to meet your creator. And I actually have felt my organs shutting down before. It's so cold. There's no in between. You're either being cooked alive or you're being frozen to death. And I say this with my full chest, right? Because you know that I am part German. My dad's German. I spent a lot of time in Germany. And one thing that Germans do not fuck around with is public transport. It is slick. It's just the German way, right? Like, the trains are all brand new. Like, they're on time. They're cheap, it's so affordable, and everything just runs. The Germans, they just don't play around with schedules, right? If they say a train's going to be there at 9, it's going to fucking be there. And if it wasn't, it'd be like front page news. We need to be more German. I've got another wrong. This one is coming in hot. The press. It's another wrong. This is a human thing, right? So I've got, if you have a big dog, okay, if you have a big dog, or a reactive dog, or a rescue dog, why, the more unfriendly your dog is, the more people try to interact with it. So my Lola, my Caucasian Shepherd mix we got from Romania, doesn't like people apart from me and Brad. And she doesn't like being petted. And I always, I used to put an unfriendly collar thing on her, and I would love to borrow for myself. But I stopped. I'm going to start again, because when I take her out and about, when people come over, I'll go, oh, she's not friendly, but this one, the other one is, so go molest her. But then it's weird. It's like, is this like a human nature thing, I think, where we think, they'll go, dogs love me. And I go, I'm sure they do, but this one doesn't, because she fucking hates everyone. And even, it doesn't even deter them when she growls or barks. It almost spurs them on. And they're like, I've got this massive dog that's like barking at you or growling at you, and you're getting closer to her face. And I, at some point, have to relinquish responsibility of what happens, because she's giving you all the information that is telling you she doesn't want to interact with you. Or the best thing that happens is when she's guarding, because she's obviously a huge guard dog and it's just in her innate genetics. And I will watch, it's typically men, but I've seen women do it too, hang over my fence and go, hello, oh, I'm not scared of you, I've got a dog. And I'm thinking, you fucking should be, mate. If you lean that hand, it's gone. You're going to be, this will be your wave. These fingers will be finished. That, and I just don't understand the logic behind trying to force yourself on an animal that doesn't want to interact with you. But you see it all the time. And I do think people need to be better at reading. Like, don't think every dog needs to be, and this is really hard because I love dogs and I always want to touch dogs and interact with them, but not every dog wants to be interacted with. I'm a dog that doesn't want to be interacted with. Don't try to touch me or pet me if you see me. Pet me with your eyes. Okay, so now some rights. These are some things that I'm vibing. These are my likes. Big tick. It's a yes from me. First up, what I refer to as relationship boardroom. God, I really hate myself. That's my mouth. But essentially, now I found myself in an adult relationship and we have a house, we have dogs, but we have very busy work schedules. I like to schedule what I call relationship boardroom, where we will sit down to discuss. It's like, it's non-romantic stuff, right? So it's like admin, it's like bills, it's like we're going to go on a summer holiday, who's going to look after the dogs on these dates, like you know, do we need to update our insurance? It's so fucking lame. I'm not even going to pretend that it's not. Okay, there's something. So I'll text Brad and I'll say, we need to do relationship boardroom later. And he'll be like, oh, okay, what? And I'll go, no, you'll get the minutes at the top of the meeting. I'm not going to text them to you because then you'll try and not come. But when we sit down, I tell him what's on the agenda. I ask him if he has anything he wants to bring to the agenda. He never does. So I run the meeting. I am normally the guest speaker and the host. He's the only attendee and he stays awake for the first segment. Yeah, and I ask him what he thinks and he just normally agrees with everything because he wants it to be over as quick as possible. I kind of felt that's how Brad feels about his life since he made a commitment to me. Just wants to get in and out with as little trauma as possible. But yeah, then we go through all the things that I'm worried about, which is a lot because obviously I am the firstborn eldest daughter, Taurus, with a control disorder. So it's really fun and uplifting. To be fair, but be serious because I know sometimes you want me to be serious. If you are in a long-term relationship, I do think it's important to like touch base. And by doing that, instead of letting it spill into fun times, if you do a little relationship boardroom and you make a list of things that you're worried about or things that you need to be done, and then you can go through and tick them off, you do feel really lighter afterwards. And Brad always says he does feel lighter afterwards. And I don't know if that's because he's just so happy it's over, but he's always like, it's nice to communicate and to get things crossed off. And then we can proceed to have fun if it's scheduled. Me, in brackets, extremely burnt out, in desperate need of a day off to relax. Also me, I wonder if there's a way I could relax in a more productive way. And then another one, it's like ADHD is without medication. Well, first of all, with caffeine and anger, anything is possible. That is also me. To be fair play, like I'm not, this is another thing that I would say, I shouldn't advocate for that. But I was just going to say fair play to anyone that's raw dogging ADHD because it's a fucking wild ride. Guys! Okay, another thing that's right. And this is a little bit out there. It's a little bit quirky. And I actually had to explain to someone what it was the other day. But if you are a stressed out hun, 10 out of 10, you need to try reflexology, right? Now, hear me out because I actually don't like people touching my feet. But my life coach, another episode on him someday, he said, you know, I need to find ways to manage my stress. And he was like, I feel like Chinese medicine, acupuncture, reflexology, try it. I was like, oh, I don't know if it's really me. Had a recommendation for someone amazing. Was a bit skeptical. I was like, I'll do it. Had a reflexology session, yeah. Two things. What this woman told me from touching my feet was insane. It was like she looked inside my brain and my body, like she told me like when I was going to get my period and she got it completely right. She told me that I was having a problem with my shoulder on the left-hand side, which I am. She told me, you know, that I'm stressed, which I am. And just the way I felt afterwards, it's like I was floating. I just can't even explain. Honestly, it's my hyperfixation. It will be one of my new wellness in my routine. Reflexology. Don't knock it till you try it because I was a bit like, don't know. I'd rather just take a Xanax, but try it. 10 out of 10. Guys, thank you for putting your questions into So Wrong It's Right's Instagram page. I've picked out some of the most repeating ones and I'm going to answer them now. How did you become a monster girl? Okay, so the story is my modeling agency at the time was doing commercial jobs with them. They said, it was a weekend, they're like, oh, do you want a bit of promo work? So I did various kind of little promotional gigs. And one of them was going up to Silverstone or somewhere like that. It was a track day for something, nothing too exciting. And I was to wear like a catsuit and, you know, wave this flag for this race team and just be there basically and do bits and bobs. And when I was there, one of the other teams, the driver was sponsored by Monster. So I worked the day. I hated the life out of this day. It was freezing. The people weren't terribly friendly and I looked like a prick in the outfit, but, you know, paying my dues. And then one of the girls came over who was a booker for Monster and she just basically said, I'd love to like speak to you and kind of exchange details. Have you ever heard about the Monster Girl like program? And I'd actually not at the time, but went home and looked at it and I was like, oh, this looks sick. Like these girls are grid girls, but it was a bit more involved. They're doing calendars and they were traveling like the whole world. And then I went on a trial. I think my first trial day was for the British Superbikes or something like that. And yeah, the rest was history. I worked with them for like 5 years and literally traveled the world. The best memes. A question that's being asked a lot is if I'm going to go on tour. And I guess you're going to mean with the pod, not with the girl band that I'm forming in secret. I'm the only member at the moment. So obviously, podcast tours are a fairly, I think, quite a new thing, but they're obviously big at the moment and lots of people have had a lot of success with them. So I feel like if it is something that people would want, I would obviously want to lean into that. However, I have my own ideas of how I could do it a little bit differently. I would love to do something in person so I could actually meet all you guys and we could hang out and we could like get drunk and, you know, it'd be a vibe. But yeah, there's a lot of podcast tours at the moment. So I definitely want to do something, but I want to try and put my own spin on it. I have ideas, but I just want to spoil them or give them away for another podcaster to steal. But we will do something in person. Okay, another popular question. Is Brad coming on the podcast? So Brad never made it onto the podcast this series. And I'll tell you why. Purely logistics. Like he literally lives in Sunderland. We obviously record in London and the days off he had never married up with the days I was recording. He offered me a Zoom, God bless him. I said, no, it's not the vibe. We're an in-person show. Yeah, I couldn't book my own husband for my podcast. How sad is that? That's the sad truth. And I wanted him on and he was definitely keen to come on. But next series, Brad will be on 100%. Can you please talk more about being confident and not worrying about what people think so much? So one little thing that was told to me once, and once I heard it, it's been really useful for me. When you start to worry about something or you start to think about someone's thoughts of you or how has someone interpreted that weird interaction you had, just basically think of yourself like in this situation I'm sitting here and then think about, okay, if you zoom out, look at London, how big it is and all the things that are happening in London right now. And then zoom out again and you're like, look at England, how big England, all the different things that are happening in England right now. And, you know, all the interactions people are having and the life experiences. And then zoom out again and you see the world. And then zoom out even further and you see the world is just this rock, okay? It's just this rock and it's floating in space. And anyone that you know right now, this is going to come out so fucked, but anyone we know right now in 100 years won't even exist. Like all of this is just in the grand scale of life is so small. And I know that makes it sound like everything's so insignificant and unimportant. And I promise you, this is not as dark and depressing as it sounds, but it's a way of getting perspective because I think we make everything so big. I do it. We make little things in our everyday life so huge. And actually, if you just zoom out, like just close your eyes and visually like zoom out on the world, you realize how unimportant some of the stuff we worry about is and how unimportant it's going to be in 1 year's time, 2 years' time. Go 100 years' time. No one's that we're even in contact with right now in this earth will even be here. So just really fuck shit up. Just do what you want. Just like YOLO, because just whatever. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Care less. Guys, thank you for listening to this episode of So Wrong It's Right with me, Olivia Atwood. Make sure you follow So Wrong It's Right Pod on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.